Hello, everybody. Welcome to the post week 4 Canning Horns podcast. I'm welcomed by my co-host, Jack Wright, NGR. Jack Wright, how you doing tonight?
Hey, partner. Thanks for having me. Doing really well. Just excited to pod again, you know, where I think last year we did the every 2 weeks. Kind of missed the weekly at times, you know, but it makes each podcast better, I think. And just looking forward to talking football again.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, you know, I do kind of miss the weekly ones at times, but it just makes you, you know, just appreciate them even more, just being bi-weekly now going forward. What kind of horn are you canning tonight?
Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the booze store for, a cool beer. So we're sticking domestic with the Pilsners, Miller Lights. Had one drink prep again, had my prep beer, and we're on horn number 2 right now.
Yeah,
we're sticking with the cow moo moo, something like
spot,
that.
Spotted cows, all 48 have been buried, so I'm now on to a blue moon. We're taking it easy tonight. Cow. We're both going
deleted.
Light.
Yeah.
Gonna
light on the beer, heavy on the content.
Yes, yeah, we have a full agenda tonight. Wonderful transition there, Jack. So we'll jump into any trades that have happened. We'll quickly review week 3, talk about our highlights there, also summarize what happened in week 4, give out some awards, and then we'll jump into the meat and bones. Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes of the pod, which is our power rankings. So, before we jump into trades, Jack, anything to announce?
Yep, big announcement from old Reggie Ledoux. Did notice that after the L last week, he did change his name. But he's in town for hosting the quarterly biannual league summit at Allen Emporium near Costco on Thursday. D. Kirk and Scott will both be there right now. So I think anyone else in town looking to attend the meeting, I will not, unfortunately, make the trip down there. But let them know. So that's our only league announcement tonight.
Makes sense. That sounds like a good time. I as well won't be able to join, but it's always good to hear, you know, just members of the league, you know, getting together. We've had multiple gatherings already this year, Jack, and it's, you know, while we might not all live in the same place, we're still, you know, a close-knit group here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So wonderful announcement there. Any trades, Jack? I believe you had the only one. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been very light on the trades this year so far. We might be heading into trade season, though. I feel like everyone's to kind of kick the tires with their drafted teams the first 4 weeks. Lane and I did make a small trade. I gave him Jerry Jeudy and Algier for Javonte Williams and Kareem Hunt. Literally all bench players. I just kind of needed a running back, who, of course, got hurt. A little hip contusion this week. I mean, whatever. Nothing really to talk about. Hopefully, you know, Javonte gets better as he comes back from a torn ACL last year. That's literally my only hope with him. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think you're right in that trade season hasn't really kicked off yet. We did have one blockbuster, but I'd say on average we usually have like one a week. We haven't seen anything come through yet today, but we'll probably get, I'd say, at least one a week going forward. There are a couple people out there, Jack, that are trying to make trades happen. I've received some offers last week. I received maybe 2 or 3 from Carl, so he seems very active out there. Fair trades by Carl, too. Ones that I've had to do some thinking. But mostly haven't been able to pull the trigger, just being, I was 0-3 at that point. And
Carl already traded Jamar and Cobb, and I know he's included Justin Jefferson in trades to myself as well. So Carl's not afraid to send out, you know, what, the probably third best player in fantasy this year, JJ. So, I've definitely had to take a look at some stats for mine. I can't trade Carl this week. I'm playing him. That's one of my, things that I'm trying to think of the correct.
One of your principles.
One of my principles. Thank you. I do not trade with my matchup that week. I don't want to do that. It's bad juju. But yeah, definitely. I mean, he's including Justin Jefferson in trades, and you know, it makes you think. Anyone else try to make trades with your partner?
No, there is some buzz going around though that Clay is the new D. Kirk. Have you received any bad offers from Clay?
I'm not going to go into specifics of the trade. Out of respect, but I have received a trade where I felt like it was a win for him and not a win for myself by any means. So yeah, you know, I think that's his starting position. I think we're past that now. You know, we're in year 11 here.
Yeah,
we're seasoned. You know, fantasy football managers. Just coming out of the gate with the right even trade that makes it a win for both parties. Not a, you know, two lessers for one almost equivalent to his top player, and then the second player is just significantly a better than you know, the other party that he's involved in the trade. So right now, yeah. I mean, Clay is, I've received better offers from Kirky than Clay.
Hey,
so far. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'll give Kirky a shout out too. He gave me a fair offer last week. Also one that I was like, yeah, that's a fair trade, but no thanks. So all that to say, trade market is heating up. We expect to have more on this following week 6. Let's jump into week 3 highlights. It does seem like forever ago. Like, I look back at week 3, I'm like, dude, I'm a 1 week's at a time kind of guy over here. But what was one of your highlights from week 3?
Yeah, hate to you know, talk about my matchup, but I had an absolute shootout with Acid Cats.
Yes.
138 to 145. Unfortunately, we were on the short end of the stick there. I mean, we played a perfectly scripted game. Everything went according to plan. The players exceeded expectations. We just got burned by the Bills D. I mean, Mostert had 41 points. I'm not even mad about that. I'm mad about the Bills D scoring 31 points against me. You know, if he scores 21, I win that game, and that's still an absurd week from a defense. So, yeah, you know, that was the third week in a row where week one, Cowboys D had 35 against me. Week 2, Niners D had 23 against me. And week 3, Bills D had 31. So it was just building and building. And I managed to get wins weeks 1 and 2. Didn't week 3. And that was just quite frustrating, to say the least. But shout out to Acid Cats. Had a monster week. Always scary going against Tyreek Hill. He put a buck 45. So he's playing good ball over there. Playing
very good ball. One note on the defense, Jack. The scoring, I mean, did something change? The defensive scoring is outrageous. This is coming, maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe some recency bias here. As I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm not dialed into a Sunday slate, I'll just, you know, flip on the app and check the percentage. So I was playing in a basketball league on Sunday, so I was a little preoccupied. I checked the percentage. Yep. I'm at like 99% or something ridiculous.
Oh, jeez.
Next time I check, Cowboys defense has 26 points and I'm projected to lose. But then we also have it swinging the other way, where I think Clay's defense went for -6. So the defensive scoring is just, I think it needs to be kind of tampered and on both sides of the line. Maybe it'd be nice to maybe even have no negative points from a defense. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. I think there's a lot of recency bias, but I think the defenses have been going crazy this year. Jack, trivia question. You know, if you go to the scoreboard page on the ESPN desktop, it shows you the top 3 scores for every team.
Are we on, what week are we going to?
No, I don't want you to look because that'd be cheating.
Oh.
This is my question to you. In week 4, how many managers had one of their top 3 scorers be their defense?
I'm gonna go with 3.
5.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
For for last pick. Some people didn't even pick a defense. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
That's kind of why we got rid of kickers. And honestly, at this point, I think I'd rather have kickers than defense, to be honest.
Well, either we're not drafting defenses early enough, or the scoring needs to get muted a little bit. One of the two.
Yeah, I think just a little mutation from the scoring would be best.
Yeah, okay. Enough about defense. I've
said, what's your week three highlight?
Yeah, mine is, you know, you talked about the high scoring matchup. I'll talk about the low scoring one, and that was Wigwam winning by 4 points over SPLLC. This was a huge, huge win for Wigwam, as he really did not get much out of the handcuff Josh Kelly. He didn't get it in week three. He didn't get it in week four either. Josh Kelly goes for 2 points. Darren Waller goes for 5 points. But really, Josh Allen carries the way, and SP only scores 81 points. And Samaje Perine kind of fills in for Aaron Jones and just does nothing. So kind of looking at the opposite end here, Wigwam just kind of squeaks out a fortunate victory. So that was something that stood out to me. Did you have any thoughts on, you know, who's been also disappointing on SP's team is Dallas Goedert. What is that guy? Where has he been all year?
Dude, I feel like actually ever since Hurts has kind of been the full time, like Goddard wasn't that good last year, I feel like, either. I don't know. I guess I didn't have him, but I don't know. Goddard's been bad this year. 5-6-3-0 in the first game.
Yeah,
so
bad. SP's team, we'll talk more about him in power rankings, but this matchup stood out to me because I think it's one SP's going to look back on, like, hey, I actually really needed to win in week three. And he failed to do that. Any other thoughts about week three, Jack, before we jump into week four?
No, I think scoring start outside of this matchup and one other, scoring. I know week one was very low scoring, week two kind of the same, and I think scoring's starting to pick up a little bit. Offenses are finding a groove.
Yeah, what stood out to you about week four?
Week four was the Monday bonanza again. We had a couple good matchups. I love one of the Monday nights, even with just one game. We had one Monday night football game, actually, that there's two of our matchups that were still close. First one was Wiggy against Free Chiefaholics. Let me pull that up. Wiggy had DK Metcalf and Darren Waller going. I mean, I think it was kind of a long shot for him in the first place, but still had an outside chance. Seahawks D, Phil still had going. And, I mean, it was just an awful game for the Giants. Waller, again, which you called it from the beginning of the year, that he was going to kind of be a bust, and he's been just absolutely nowhere. So I was wrong on that. I was on Team Waller. Happy I don't have him right now. Giants just got nothing going, which I'll bring up. It was relevant for your matchup as well. Seahawks D went for 29 points. I mean, just another massive matchup or massive score in there. Clay's D went for -6 points in this matchup. So there's a 35-point difference in just the defense.
That's hard to overcome. It really is.
Yes. So looking at it, that would have, 35-point swing, Clay would have ended up winning. Clay had a massive game from Josh Allen in that one, 36 points, one of the better QB games of the year, but still couldn't pull it off. Clay ended up losing by 31. So for what went into a possible win for Clay, ended up in complete disaster. The other matchup was the Shandrian versus the Nuts. Going into the night, you probably didn't feel great. You're up like 12. You needed 13 points out of Danny Dimes to get the win. And old Danny Boy goes for 8.7. So just did not step up in prime time. Had a couple picks. Got sacked like 10 times. Like, it was just bad all night. And you had one go your way after, you know, after like the first few weeks. You had some really good weeks and just had bad matchups, and then won a low scoring affair, which, you know, like kickstart the nuts over there.
Yeah. And similar to how like SP looking back at week three being like, man, I needed to get that one. That was kind of what I was feeling last week in week four. Like, both of
you would have had to go on. I mean, you still have some work to do. You've got a really, really good team, which we'll talk about. But yeah, I mean, going 0-4.
I needed that one. You know, trying to squeak out a win, scoring in the 80s. Like, you know, I didn't feel like I deserved the win, but I needed it. Jack, when you are in a close fantasy matchup, and there's a football game on that's critical, but it's like a worthless football game, right? Like two bad teams, like, or mediocre teams, like last night. Are you dialed into the game? Or
no, I'm fucking locked in.
You're locked in?
I can't help it. No willpower over here. I got to watch, despite it, even if it's just going against me. If I still have a chance to win.
Yeah.
If I get surpassed and it's a shitty football game and I got no chance of winning, then I'll turn it off. But until it's a for sure thing, I gotta watch. Because also, I'm just checking on my phone the whole time. I'm on Game Pass.
Yeah,
so
you might
as well watch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sounds like you're not.
No, I watched Dune last night, and I watched Mad Max on Sunday. Two great movies, by the way. We're not a movie podcast. We don't need to dive into that. But I tend to stay away. If I'm not winning my matchup, I'm like, I got better things to do. And
yeah.
I find other stuff to do.
That was a good no watch then. Some good,
yeah,
good
check,
juju.
Checked the app this morning and was surprised for sure.
Did you check it last night after the game?
No, I did not.
Wow.
I kind of felt bad for Scott. I'm like, dude, he kind of deserved whatever. We don't need to dive into that. Reggie versus Woodbrook Lions was the highlight of my week four. And this one stings for Reggie. Scores 119 and loses to Woodbrook, who scores 132. This was the matchup of the two studs on IR. Reggie still has Jonathan Taylor hanging out there. Woodbrook has Cooper Kupp. And despite that, their teams went off. I mean, Reggie is really just McCaffrey almost, but I guess Mark Andrews scored 22, so that was really solid as well. Kehoe, on the other hand, a little bit more spread out, but monster performance by A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown had a monster performance, and guess what? He was, you know, barely better than Seahawks defense. But regardless, just a monster matchup of two people very high, two managers very high in the power rankings. Just a close matchup where it really could have gone either way. But Dylan, it continues, at least up until this week, continued just to punt at the RB2 position. I get he doesn't have much ammo to trade, but the fact that he's 2-2, fifth place overall, and has played the most worthless running backs is quite the feat. But nonetheless, Kehoe still got the better of him in week four. So that's what stood out to me, Jack. Anything else from you on that matchup or week four?
I mean, Christian McFordy, five piece right there, just absolutely went off. Best player in fantasy right now. Tough one. Reggie's still scoring points. I don't think he's mad about it. Obviously, you want to win, but when you have a good week, you get those much-needed points for that can help you long-term. And I think he said he was going to be happy being 2-2. At this point, when JT came back, he said that when he was 2-0, and you know what, he got his wish, so spoke that into existence a little bit. I think he gets a top, potentially 10 from a talent perspective, top 5 RB here coming in to pair with CMC, and he's just got to string together a couple decent wide receivers. I mean, he's starting 2-2 at well right now. I know he had a good start, but that's not great. I think Reggie is pleased with where he's at and just, really needs JT to be his best.
Yep. Manager of the week for week four. And I guess 3-4. Kind of 3-4, sure. Woodbrook Lions Mr. Adam Keough, the newlywed, the one I wished nothing but the worst or something along those lines, going into
it. You just wanted to beat him.
I just wanted to win. I was desperate. But Keough's done a lot to win it. He made a really good start-sit decision, and I know Debo was banged up last week, but could have easily thrown him into the lineup over, you know, Kamara coming back for his first game, or Pacheco, who hadn't really done very much up until last week. But he sits Debo down. He also is on a win-two streak right now, and also made a really good trade for Ja'Marr Chase, and it seems like Cooper Kupp is actually going to play here relatively soon. So he's just made some really smart moves, and I think is deserving of Manager of the Week post Week 4.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, you know, benching Debo and also even benching Brian Robinson Jr. I know he had a tough matchup, but he's been really, really good to start the year. You know, makes a trade. Jefferson's been a beast still, but Chase is still going to be good, and he's got Kupp coming back, so I think the newlywed is in a really good position, both personally and, you know, with his fantasy team right now.
Yeah. Yeah, hats off to Keough, or should I say hats on if he continues continues to win. So one thing we did promise, Jack, was a hat to the manager with the most points at the end of Week 4. But, Jack, I got to give it up, my man. You are the best, or not the best, but you have the most points for right now.
No, we'll go with the best. Yeah,
you are the best. So no. You already have one of these highly coveted CHP, one of, like, I think 7 in the world hats, and you've kindly passed it on. Unfortunately for Lane, it's not going to him, although he's number 2 in points. What we're going to do is actually roll it over into an 8-week contest. Build up the suspense. That's what our producers wanted us to do, so that's the route we're going. Most points for the first 8 weeks gets the hat. And if it's still you at that point, Jack, we don't know. We'll decide at that point what we're going to do.
Yeah, Scotty, I remember last time when we spoke, I had like a 60-point cushion. Kind of let it slip, and Lane had a 20-point cushion going into, what was that, Week 4 there. So, happy to be on top, but we are excited to extend the points for hat reward another 4 weeks, so everyone's still in play.
That's right. All right, that wraps up Week 4, Jack. How about we jump into our power rankings post Week 4?
All right, post Week 4 power rankings sponsored by Solid Gold. Kicking off with number 1, did not lose his spot, nothing to go down in the power rankings. We have Acid Cats here. You know, again, he's just playing really good, solid ball. Got a good week out of Justin Fields, which actually, when I clicked on his team partner, he's got Joe Burrow starting and doesn't have Justin Fields on his team. Do we have some breaking news from a trade?
Uh-oh.
Let me look at recent activity.
Check the trade desk.
We do. Okay.
Live analysis. What do we got?
We got Acid Cats traded Fields and Mostert, and he got in return Rashad White, Marquise Brown, Joe Burrow. I don't really have many thoughts. I mean, I feel like...
No, you're doing well, Jack. Keep going. You're nailing this.
I mean, I just feel like, you know, Mostert kind of was at his peak after his 41-point game, and now it's Achane's big backfield. And I guess he's just trying to sell both high and buy Joe Burrow low, but Marquise Brown might be good if Kyler Murray comes back in like a month. Rashad White, I have no thoughts on Rashad White. I think he's a boring player who gets 50 yards a game and 20 receiving yards. So
is Marquise Brown, like, playable?
Let's see. Clay dropped him, like, after week 1. Yeah, actually, he is. He's gone 7, 14.5, 14.5, 13. Okay. So he's actually been pretty solid. Not a huge trade. Lane needs more wide receivers. Probably knows that Mostert is not the guy there anymore. So he gets White. And then just hope Burrow gets healthy.
So I don't know. After this trade, thoughts. Jack, you still got him at 1. He's rolling out Burrow now. He's probably going to be playing Rashad White in the flex now going forward.
It's a little more long-term stability in running back. Loses a little bit of that upside, but then adds wide receiver depth. So I think it's fine for Lane. I don't mind it.
The tight end guru, like, playing Kyle Pitts every week?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's been stripped of that title until proven otherwise.
He's tight end 27 still, on the year.
Still living in the Mark Andrews days from about 4 years ago. He did call out Tonyan that 1 year, 3 years, 2 or 3 years ago. But, yeah, he's sticking with Kyle Pitts, tight end 27, and he's got Hunter Henry on the bench, which he's not playing. But yeah, going back to the rest of his lineup there, I think Bijan's, he's running back 6. I don't even think he scored a touchdown yet. So I think the upside with him is insane. Again, he's got Tyreek and Christian Kirk, actually. He traded Chris Godwin for Kirk in the beginning of the year. I thought that great it was trade. That Godwin was the better one, but through 4 weeks, I think Kirky is for sure the better wide receiver there. But yeah, he's just been nothing to lose that title right now as number one in the power rankings.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Lane's team?
No, I mean, when I look at Lane's team, really what comes up for me is this guy's like playing North Central in basketball growing up. You got to come prepared. This guy, like you said, it's not fun going up against Tyreek Hill. If you're not bringing your A game, you're going to get crushed. We've talked plenty of smack about Acid Cat Spirit Guide. I mean, that's a mouthful. I stand by that. That's not one of his better names.
I do too.
But we've talked plenty of smack about his team in the past. And I tell you what, he turned a corner over the last 3 years, and he's off to a hot start so far this year. He's already made, maybe 3 trades, too. So he's doing a lot, and he's a formidable opponent for sure, and I'm not shocked whatsoever to see the algorithm slot him in at number 1 for consecutive weeks here. Let's jump to number 2, Jack. This is Papa Partner. This is you. You were 4 last time we spoke. You're up to 2, and your team is solid. I mean, your most points 4. And that's with David Montgomery missing some time. Wonderful draft selection, Jack, there. David Montgomery's a stud. You're trying to kind of fill in the gaps here at running back 2. Jerome Ford could end up being, serviceable. But the wide receivers are just so strong with Diggs, St. Brown, Keenan Allen. I mean, those are just, you have your flex spot for the rest of the season. It's really like, hey, what am I going to do at tight end? And can I just find a decent RB2? Javonte Williams, Jerome Ford, probably find somebody on waivers at some point too. Like, I think you're going to be just fine. Your team is loaded. Lamar Jackson's crushing. The early wide receiver draft strategy has paid off at least through 4 weeks, Jack. So, well done.
Yeah, we're pleased with the start. Despite losing Dobbins in the first half of the first week for the season. So kind of scrambling for the RB2. Got lucky that we had Ford on our bench when Chubb went down just to, maybe be the guy. Kind of looked like he might be a league winner at first. Don't think he's that guy at all, but I still think he's solid enough. And, yeah, this was the first year that we went, all wide receivers. And early on, it's paying off. But a lot of football left, partner. A
lot of football, Jack. But you're having another great season. At least you are so far. So well done.
Yep.
All right. Who do we got at number 3?
Number three standpoint, we got Reggie, despite coming in on a two-game skid. You know, he's got the best player in fantasy football right now. It's Christian McCaffrey. So when you got the best player, he's going to give you a chance to win every week. You know, despite losing last week, he still put up almost 120 points. He's getting JT back. He's got the number one QB right now in Herbert. And, you know, she's got a bunch of wide receivers that don't really look great right now outside of Wilson. But, you know, with Zach Wilson, he doesn't even look that good. Just needs a couple deep balls. Needs a regular deep ball to come in. And if he gets a few of those a week, even one of those per week, he will probably win. And then he's got Mark Andrews, who's probably the, you know, best tight end right now. Kelsey's kind of looks a little not like himself. I'm so already over the Taylor Swift him thing. Oh, dude. Gosh, Sunday Night Football is just disgusting.
Dude, power move. Just mute Taylor Swift or Swift. You know you can mute words on Twitter? Just mute that. Oh,
I didn't know you could do that. I'm going to.
Yes.
Just disgusting. But, yeah, I mean, he's in a... He'll figure out the wide receivers. D-Mel's not really one to make trades. I think he rides his guys, so he just hopes that Wilson will continue to get better with Zach Wilson, or if they make a QB change, and that Pickens or and Addison, you know, kind of step up there. But he gets JT, so we'll see how he does. Could be huge for Ladue.
Yeah, I'd be shocked to see a major change for Reggie. In terms of roster construction, I don't see him making a trade for Taylor or McCaffrey. I think he's just going to clean it up around the edges. So we'll see what kind of fab he spends here over the next few weeks. So, I mean, overall, no, I don't really want to keep talking about Reggie because I feel like we've covered him plenty tonight. But he's just got to be the shock so far of through the first 4 weeks. Being 2-2, having a lot of points for... It's a shock coming out of that draft the way he's performed. So, props to Reggie for sure. I also thought of this comparison for Reggie, kind of like LeBron and the Cavs in 04. Just really one good player, and everybody else is just like trying to do their part to fill in the gaps.
Delonte West.
Who else?
Jonas Ozauskas.
Who else was on that team? I probably should have looked this up before.
Gibson guard.
Yeah, Booby Daniel Gibson. Was he still there at that point?
Yeah. I think, yeah. It might have been more like 07 when they made the finals, but still, just so bad.
Yeah, but they got LeBron.
Maybe. Anderson Varejão.
Wow. He's been in the league forever.
I think he was there. Yeah, I mean, they were bad. Oh, Mo Williams might have been a little later. But seriously, like Mo Williams was by far their second-best player.
Yeah, so just really stars and studs over there in Ladue headquarters. Number four, we have Free Chiefsaholic Phil Spurley jumping up from number seven last time we met. Phil's team, as I click on it, I'm actually... I'll say one good thing and something critical as well, but positive first because we are a positive podcast. The Kyren Williams pickup is looking genius. He spends $30 fab, which really isn't that much. And the guy, Jack, guess his position rank up until this point.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
But it's three.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Number three, the guy is on the field like 95% of the time. Not only is he out there a lot, but he's actually super productive. It wasn't like there was this, I wouldn't say it was clear and obvious, you know, that he was going to be amazing at following week one. He split carries that week with Akers, but Phil made it a priority to get him. If he didn't have him on his squad, like, he would be lost right now. Because when you look at his wide receivers, Jack, he's desperate for some depth. I mean, he's starting Tank Dell. Tank Dell last week scores 3 points. He is sitting at 20 best wide receiver so far this year. But, like, is Tank Dell really going to be startable the rest of the season? And, like, what happens when Devontae Smith or Tank Dell are on a bye? Like, who's he going to slot in? He really doesn't have any other options.
After, Connor's solid, Williams very solid, Smith is solid. But, yeah, Tank Dell, you're just hoping that he continues to do well. The flex is Najee, who is just very bad.
I could see him flipping, Najee or Roshan for wide receiver.
Yeah. He's got, some decent handcuffs with Charbonnet and Roshan Johnson on the bench, but you can't start him until they're starters. Dotson's been really bad. I got Dotson in my B league, and he's been awful this year. Cooks, who knows? Kyron Williams, huge pickup. And he's got the Patty and Kelsey stack who, Mahomes is eighth right now, the eighth QB. Kelsey's the sixth tight end. And they're only going to get better. This is as bad as they're going to be right now. So Sproles' team's going to be just fine. One thing I noticed, if you click on Kyron Williams and you go look at the recent news, I'm just going to read the first sentence. Coach Sean McVay said Monday that Williams suffered a bruised hip during Sunday's overtime win in Indianapolis. Stu Jackson of the Rams official site reports. So shout out Stu Jackson, Carmel High School class of 2012. On ESPN, making reports, baby. Good for him.
I remember my best memory of Big Stu is being on his Carmel Dads Club soccer team in sophomore, junior year of high school.
We were the Tornadoes.
Yeah, he was a stud out there. I don't even know if I heard him say a word, but I'll tell you what, that guy can type. He's a great reporter.
That boy had some game on the pitch, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure he even touched the ball once that season, but
boy, can he report?
We knew he was destined for greatness elsewhere, off the pitch.
Shout out Big Stu.
Shout out Big Stu. Great catch, Jack. Wonderful catch there.
Come on.
So, what about number five, Jack? Who do we have next?
We got the TC Tuggers, baby. Sam making a good comeback after, being a bumper Wemby last year. 3-1 right now, sitting very good in third place. Coming off 113-point performance. Absolute, just great wide receiver core. He's got CD Ayuk, who's been very good, despite, I think he missed a game or... Yeah, CD? He did miss week three. But super high upside play there. And then he's got Devontae, who's been a beast as well. Also, kind of won the tight end sweepstakes with Laporta. Tight end number two right now. Looks very consistent over there in Detroit. I believe D-Dog picked him up and then dropped him. So, big mistake there, big drop. Had some work in the running back room. He's got Breece Hall, who, kind of a slow start. Just from a volume perspective, he looks good when he gets the ball, and numbers have been fine, but they're just kind of in a negative game script. And then, he's kind of, Herbert, Pierce, Gibson, all just kind of not great running backs so far this year, and it's just played the matchup game, but overall, pretty strong team, and I think the RBs will kind of figure themselves out. Just a good bounce back year for the Tuggers.
Yeah, absolutely making a strong bounce back. Jack, I don't know if you're up to date on Bachelor, but what they got going now, this, and Sam is our Bachelor correspondent, but what they got is you get kicked off the Bachelor, right? Only one, one person wins. What they do is they're starting this Bachelor in Paradise where
they've watched.
You've watched. Okay, so you're familiar. If you're not familiar, it's basically the rejects, end up on an island, not directly after, but, the next season is Bachelor in Paradise where, some of the rejects are getting together on an island and a lot of males, a lot of females, and they're trying to, find a connection that way. This is kind of like Sam, getting rejected last year. And absolutely finding his groove in Bachelor in Paradise.
He is in paradise right now, sitting at 3-1.
Yeah, I'm new to the Bachelor game.
Is Carrie getting you into it?
Well, I think it was kind of a shock for her to see me on Sunday with, and actually I've heard her tell her friends this, so I know it was a shock. when I had, you know, a game on the phone, a game on the laptop, and then a game on the TV. So, just really three screens going, three games.
This guy is a kind of a fucking loser, but all right, I'll deal with it.
It was less of like, hey, I'm not going to try to build up to this. Like, I'm going to rip the band-aid off early and say, like, hey, like, you know, this is my me time. I'm going to just throw on some games.
And that's fair.
In return, you know, I don't know what night of the week it was. So maybe, I think Thursday, she's like, hey, do you want to watch, you know, the new Golden Bachelor? I'm like, yeah, you know what? Let's do it. So, yeah, I'm kind of, and then Bachelor in Paradise was after that. So, I'm not sure I'll watch it every week, but I did watch the first episode.
Dude, they're not terrible. I'll be honest. They're catchy. It's kind of trash and probably fake, but it's catchy.
It's catchy. All right, good stuff. So Sam at number five. Number six is Kehoe. And I'm surprised that our algo didn't actually have Kehoe higher because from my perspective, I look at Kehoe's team and I love it. I mean, if Cup comes back and is even like a top, let's say, 15 guy, I mean, he's got A.J. Brown, Jamar Chase, Deebo Samuel, and Cooper Kupp at wide receiver. Like, absolutely loaded. One of those guys will be flipped for an RB. And then at RB, he's got Kamara, Robinson, Pacheco. And then QB, Kenneth Walker, too. Sorry, forgot about his best running back. And then Anthony Richardson at QB. So, he doesn't have a tight end, but, like, half the league doesn't have a tight end. So, I don't really view that as a whole. I just think his roster is super good. And he's got Trevor Lawrence, too. So that'll be kind of a tough decision to make every week. But overall, just a really solid roster. I think he's managing everything really well. And is going to be scary if Cup comes back and is a force.
Yeah. Don't want to play Kehoe probably in the playoffs. Obviously, that's a far
ways away. That was early to be, I mean.
Well, obviously, any team doesn't want to play him. Like, he's just got so much depth and strong players at each position. He probably will make a trade for a running back if Cup is what he lives up to be. But you know, I think the algo had him. He was slotted at 11 2 weeks ago, so tough to make a big jump from 11 to higher than that. But yeah, I mean, just tons of talent on his team. Very very scary to go against every week. Curious to see what moves he continues to make to continue to strengthen the roster.
Yep. All right. What about seven, Jack? Who's next?
We got you there, partner. Got your first win, kind of broke the seal there. Very similar to Keo's team, though. I mean, your roster is strong from top to bottom. I mean, you have three potential, like, legit league winners in Swift, who looks very good in Philly. Devon Achane, who is just a freak in a perfect system, just so fast. And then Nico Collins, who's wide receiver 7 right now. And 3 out of 4 games have been really strong. I mean, on top of those players, you still have Hurts and Pollard and Waddle and Ridley. So just trying to figure out the tight end. But, you know, overall, I think you're going to get a lot better production from Waddle and Ridley moving forward. And then, you know, you got really good high upside running backs as well. Again, you got that first win, and I think the floodgates might open for the Nuts.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
How are you feeling about your team?
Yeah, I actually surprisingly like it. You know, it's weird to say that when you're 1-3, but you know, I drafted well from the wide receiver standpoint, where I got Waddle, Ridley, Christian Watson, and Collins, who I think are all playable right now. And then running backs, I drafted Cam Akers, which has been a complete dud, but thankfully made up with it with DeAndre Swift.
Achane, not to mention you had Moss, who filled in perfectly.
Yeah, Moss was a good fill-in.
Until now, Achane just steps in. So
yeah, I'm optimistic about my team. The thing is, at the end of the day, I am 1-3. And
yep.
What it takes to make the playoffs is at least 7 wins. That's what history tells us, is that you need 7 wins. It's not
a guarantee at 7.
It's not a guarantee. You still need some high points plus 7 wins. So being 0-4 is like, okay, and we have 14-week season. So being 0-4 is like not the end of the world.
7-3 the rest of the way.
But it's tough. 1-3 is much, I think, much more manageable. So I'm glad I squeaked one out through the first four, and I'm not in a desperation standpoint whatsoever where I'm like trying to, you know, make trades on bye weeks, things like that, just to try to, yeah, to gobble up wins and to like get to 3 to 4 wins. Like I might end up there, but I think I'm doing fine right now.
Yeah, well, easy to say when you have no buys this week, but
hey, well, I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. I'm just excited that you didn't have one. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, right now, I do think that you know, if you're in the seventh spot, that would be the top seven rosters as well, in my opinion, for the playoffs there. But a lot of football still.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Enough there. Let's jump to eight. We got Scotty. Touched on his performance last week a little bit. Unfortunate. But Scotty's 1-3. So ninth place right now in terms of our league standings. But does have, I mean, also, not only did he get screwed by Daniel Jones last week, but he also had T. Higgins and Mike Evans get hurt in the game. In there.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Really, really unfortunate. And he's probably going to be without Higgins for a little bit. So he's going to have to play that, you know, Rashid Shaheed guy that he spent $30 on. But he's getting
wide receiver 19.
Not bad. But he's getting Barkley back. So that's why I'm optimistic about Scott's team going forward. James Cook looks like a stud. Great pick there. Mixon is kind of doing his thing. I don't know if he's going to keep rolling out Daniel Jones. He's kind of got the Daniel Jones versus Dak Prescott. Like, both are pretty average decision to make every week. I think his team is just kind of like mediocre. But if Barkley comes back and is the man, could be definitely above league average.
Yeah, and I think Barkley makes Daniel Jones a lot better as well. So I think if he does have Barkley, Jones will be fine. If he gets Higgins and Evans healthy as well, he definitely actually, you know, does have a pretty solid roster there. I already take back my statement about those top seven teams from a roster standpoint, because when healthy, I think Scotty's team is actually pretty solid and good.
Yeah, and he's got the number one tight end too, Hockenson.
Yep.
And the number one defense, right, the Cowboys, who score. Guess what the Cowboys' average points is?
I'm looking right now. But
stop looking every time.
Well, I'm on his team. 18.8. But my guess would literally probably been like 20.
Yeah, 18.8 points. So Scotty's highest scoring player on average is the Cowboys, and
unbelievable.
Next would be Saquon at 16. Yeah, I don't think, you know, if we're gonna do like talk about like, hey, is there any reason for Scott to panic? I would say no, not at all.
Yeah, no, the roster is not bad. Just kind of getting bit by the injury bug pretty bad right now. And it definitely cost him last week for your benefit, you know, losing two guys early and then not having Saquon. But, you know, he gets Saquon back hopefully this week, and that'll make Danny Dimes a little better.
Yep. All right. Jack, who do we have?
Number nine. The Wigwam. We got Wiggy.
I love that name. Great name. It's growing on me every day.
It is good. He's kind of struggling to score points right now. Now, he does have Eckler out, the second overall pick, which has been very tough, obviously. And you know, Kelly had a really good week one when Eckler was in there. You know, put up 15 points. Eckler goes down. You're like, dude, this is going to be a perfect handcuff. This guy's going to get, you know, at least 10 to 12 as a floor. And he's put up 3.9, 2.2, 6.5. So he's really been a complete dud as a handcuff. Pittman's been a surprise for him. DK's been solid. And then, you know, he's probably got the top quarterback in the league with Josh Allen. But yeah, I mean, I think Clay just really needs Eckler to get, you know, he's the engine of the team, and they've kind of pitter-pattered the last few weeks. Still sitting at 2-2, so he's got, you know, 2 in the win column, but just needs a little momentum. He needs his guy back.
Yeah, yeah, I think if I'm Clay, I'm not panicking yet either. You need Eckler to come back, and when he's back, I mean, he's going to be a good for 20 points a game kind of guy.
And they're on bye, and then he should be healthy coming back.
Yeah, yeah, I think he'll be certainly will be back following the bye. He's got plenty of wide receivers, none of them studs per se, but a bunch of decent guys for sure. And then I think ETN really hasn't touched his ceiling yet. I think he's been scoring around his floor, which is like 12 points a game. He's getting so many touches, so I think he'll be good going forward. So if you got Eckler in there in that lineup, and he's got a lot of people on bye this week, but you know, going forward, Clay's team is really solid. I think just Eckler is kind of that linchpin for him. No surprise.
I agree, partner.
All right, number 10. I believe this is my turn here. We have Kirky. Kirky's team has just been mediocre. So he's sitting in 7th place. He's 2-2. Points 4. I think he's towards the bottom. Yeah, so points 4, D. Kirk is at 371. For reference, the only people below him would be the Wigwam at 343 and SPLC at 341 and then Los Muertos at 337. So similar to Clay, just really not scoring a lot of points, which is why the algorithm isn't really respecting his team right now. Did make the nice pickup of Brock Purdy last week when Deshaun Watson went down, so that'll be nice as Watson is on the bye. But Purdy's QB11 on the season, definitely deserves to be on a roster somewhere. Derrick Henry looks like he's kind of coming back into form. Who knows what Madison's going to do the rest of the year. I mean, he just has a bunch of question marks. Like, I don't see how you could really feel good about starting. I mean, these are all startable guys, but, like, their range of outcomes is ridiculous. DJ Moore,
yeah,
Gabe Davis, Amari Cooper, Adam Thielen. Like, he's going to be starting that group every week, you know, at least two of them. And, I mean, we've already seen this crazy range for all of those guys. And then George Kittle has just been a humongous disappointment as well. So he's just got this kind of, like, mediocre, solid team, but just no real, like, punch, no real stars. And I'm not sure what it's going to take to get his team to that next level. What are you thinking if you're D. Kirk right now, Jack? Are you panicking?
I'm not. I think my panic meter would be about a 5. I think it would have been higher if both Henry and Jacobs didn't have good week last week.
Yeah.
I think they are both underwhelming the first part of the, you know, the first few games there. So to have both of them go for 25 and 24, so big weeks out of them, is encouraging. You know, he played the wrong wide receivers. DJ Moore went off last week for 23, and Davis is, he's obviously known for being a boomer bust guy. But yeah, I mean, I think he's just got to plug DJ Moore and Cooper in at the wide receiver spots and just hope, you know, that they go off. You really wonder what his true ceiling is, though. You know, can he win a shootout and get to 145 points one game if he needs to? We don't know. Doesn't quite look like it, but could be proven wrong.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah, TBD on his team. He's also a guy that makes a lot of trades. I wouldn't be surprised to see one go through for Master this week. All right, number 11, Jack.
Speaking of trades,
yep,
Carl. Los Muertos here at 11.
Finally gets Burrow off his team. He did not want Burrow.
Yeah, and he got rid of him. Now he's got Fields potentially going this week. Let's see who he plays. Because I'm playing him. So let's see if he goes Fields at Thursday night or Kirky. And now he gets Mostert in there, which now I'm kind of pissed about. Because he had White on a bye. He's got Puka, JJ, McLaurin. Evan Ingram's a solid tight end. But Puka and JJ, obviously, top five wide receivers year to date. JJ will continue to be. We'll see with Puka. But yeah, I mean, Carl's team, you know, it's talented. I feel like Ramondre's been a little underwhelming for sure. Now he's got a little upside, though, with Fields on the roster at QB. But we'll see. I feel like Carl's not done. You know, I think he's still going to try and flip Jefferson, I bet, for a little bit more talent. But I don't think he's very deep. Like, McLaurin as your flex right now is his best flex option. And then he's got Dylan, Edwards, and Allaire on the bench. So not very good once you hit the flex spot. But I don't think Carl's obviously close to being done making moves.
Yeah, I'd say one of the reasons our algorithm, I mean, it's crazy what it's capable of inserting. But it tracks really just how active you are in the trade market, like sending and receiving offers. And it knows that Carl is really not resting at all right now. I think our algorithm believes in Carl's ability to maneuver from this point, make some deals, and really turn this season around. Like we said, it takes 7 wins plus some points to get into playoffs historically. So he needs to get rolling, but its playoffs certainly aren't out of the picture at this point.
Yeah, no. He's a capable manager to pull that off, and he's determined. He just, I think he sent a message in the group chat tonight. He wants to reserve his spot on the CHP in 4 weeks. he'll be back in the States, and the bumper race will be in full swing. So maybe Great. He's actually determined to be in bumper.
Wonderful.
But, we'll see. But we'll lock him in 4 weeks.
All right. Put that on the schedule. Lastly, Jack, bringing up the rear, we have SP. So this is a drop from 9 to 12. And I mean, I think this is really the only question that matters in regards to SP. What's more real, Jack? The baby curse or the Madden curse?
It's got to be baby curse. I mean, he was the favorite to be bumper. His team is limping right now. Doesn't look like a high upside team by any means. I mean, I don't think I was bumper when Eli, but I was second. I was grinding to not be bumper. Then Sam had his kid bumper, SP next in line, and he's got his lineup set right now, projected 85 points. So it's just tough out there for LLC. He's got a lot of work to do. He's starting Russell. He's actually been playing all right, but yeah, I don't know. The baby curse is real. And he's got to grind for the next 8 weeks here.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just his team just does not scream upside. Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders as his best for RBs have just not panned out so far. And then Olave had a really disappointing week last week. And Jacoby Myers is starting for him now every week, I guess. He's got Lockett. So, I mean, it's just mediocre. Like, what's the difference between any of these guys? Myers, Lockett, Drake London, Zay Flowers. They're all just kind of average. I don't know what he's going to do. Like, I'm not sure what the path forward is for SP. He's never been a high trade guy. So I don't know what route he goes here. And I haven't received any trades. I haven't heard anything on the trade front from him. So I don't even know how much he cares at this point, Jack. I don't know if I've heard a peep from him in the GroupMe. So I don't know what kind of headspace he's in right now.
He's consumed by being a father right
yeah,
now.
That's likely the truth. I mean, 68 points last week. Anytime you fail to break 70, that's just not pretty. I know, it's just kind of like a sad way to end the podcast talking about number 12.
I am sad.
NSP. We wish him the best.
Yeah,
going forward. Let's see who SP's got in week 5. He's got D. Kirk. Okay, he's got a chance.
Winnable.
He's got a chance. We'll see how that goes for him. But that's not a gimme if you're D. Kirk at all. Any other matchups?
Matchup of the week has got to be Phil versus Lane, the Backer Bros, the Backer matchup right there. 3-1 versus 4-0. Good test for Acid Spirit Guide with his new team. He just traded for a running back on a bye, so you wonder if he's kind of punting this week. But he's got Tyreek that could kind of go off and can fulfill multiple positions there from a point standpoint. But it's just a good matchup, and curious to see how that one ends up. Any other stick out to you?
No, that was the one for me too. I guess you do have a good matchup with Carl. Like, I think that I know we've touched on it a little bit, but that one just matters a lot, just because
it's an important matchup.
It's an important matchup. You're exactly right, and we got the best friends matchup: TC Tuggers versus Woodbrook Lions.
Good for them.
So that'll be interesting to watch as well. I think that kind of sums it up for tonight, Jack. I know we don't have anyone else joining us. I think I can do a better job of that going forward, being sending out the message before the day of. Not great on my part.
2 hours before.
Yeah. So I'll do a better job of that going forward, so we can make sure to get somebody on.
Yeah, would love to have a guest. We already got Carl locked in for 4 weeks, but in 2, I hope we can get someone else.
Yeah. Absolutely, Jack. I just want to thank you for your undivided attention, Jack. Just really being focused on the present, being prepared. Just overall, I think our podcast is somehow hitting its stride in season 7, Jack.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, and looking forward to catching up again here in 2 weeks.
Likewise, partner. Good week. Good luck this week against Wiggy, against the Commish. It's a big one for you.
Yeah, likewise against Carl, man. All right, adios. All right.
See you, partner.